Beginning a new lesson on Ecclesiastes 3, and it's all about time at the beginning, so I'm going to try to stick to our time. Anyway, let's begin our time with prayer, and then we have one question to answer on lesson 1 before we move on to lesson 2. We should have a handout of lesson 2, so let's begin our time with prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you. Your throne room. This morning we offer up our thanks and our praise, giving you all the honor and glory, Lord, that you so richly deserve. And we thank you for this opportunity, this new day that you give us, this season that we can see so many things changing and the newness of life bursting forth. And so we thank you for your provision. We thank you for everything is in its season, in your seasons. And so remind us of that, again, not only, Lord, in what we see out there in your creation and nature, but we see it in your word. And so as we study your word this day from Ecclesiastes, remind us by your word, those important words that you created time. You gave us time. And we're going to be talking about what the purpose of time is. And so we thank you for the time that you give each of us. The physical time on this earth. But we also know that we can, by expectation, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can expect an eternity of time with you forever and ever. And so we look forward to the day when all things will be restored and everything will be made right. So we eagerly await the return of Christ, and we want to be watchful. So help us to be watchful in the days we're in, all the things we're seeing, how they fit into your plan, even though we don't always recognize it at the time it's happening. Help us keep perspective. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the people gathered here. I ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit so that we can understand your word. That the Holy Spirit truly is our teacher and our guide through your word. So we lift up our prayers and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us this morning in deeper understandings of your word, particularly in Ecclesiastes 3 and the meaning of time. Thank you, Lord, for this day and everyone gathered here. In Jesus' name. Okay, just by way of finishing up lesson 1 from, we have one question to answer on the question sheet, and that's the last question, question 6, and it's kind of maybe good to talk about this as we completed lesson 1, or completing lesson 1, and moving on to the rest of Ecclesiastes. Because I asked the question, which is the title of our whole Ecclesiastes study, Life Without God is Meaningless. And in chapters 1 and 2, we talked about a title for that first lesson, All is Meaningless, seemingly in the perspective of the writer, of where he is looking back on time, looking about what happened in his life. And so when we reflect upon this question 6, why is life without God meaningless? And how do we see that playing out in our culture today? And I just simply put it this way. We've talked about, from the book, The Solomon Syndrome, the concept of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And when we, in our human, defining our human needs, and producing a belief system that we all have one way or the other, what we truly believe based upon the needs that we see in our life, and then we generate goals from those from that belief system. Out of that belief system, whether we realize it or not, we set maybe not consciously all the time, but we set goals. Where are we going? What are we doing with this? And then those goals that we establish in our life to our behavior patterns, how we act, what we do, what we believe in, and how we show that. And then our behavior, continual behavior, ultimately dictates whether we meet our real needs or we get caught up in all these felt needs, things that we want to fill the void in our life. And that can often lead us off the path, taking the broad road, and the broad road that leads to destruction. And so, and I call that the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and we've discussed that before. So let me just answer the question the way I would answer it. I would say simply, without God, our life becomes or is a boulevard of broken dreams, because our needs are simply focused on physical satisfaction. We don't really look deeper into what are our real needs. We talked about the difference between felt needs and real needs. And we all, I believe, are created by God to desire certain felt needs, or certain real needs, have real needs, but we often get diverted into all the things we want to do. And so I define that Boulevard of Broken Dreams in five P words. I mentioned them last week. And so when we focus strictly on our physical satisfaction, the things that we see that we want to satisfy our senses, oftentimes we can get caught up in the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, which is a road to power or control, pleasure, which is fun, popularity, which is to be liked, possessions, which is gathering of stuff, and prestige, which is to be recognized, not always for the right reasons. And so with God, and this is the difference. I'm just finishing up lesson one, question six. And then we'll go on to lesson two.
Okay. Sorry, Gary.
That's all right. So, I would define the difference. If you're focused on strictly physical needs, the things that the world has to offer, the things we see around us that can pleasure us or to encourage our senses, you know, that is not the road that God wants us on. Mm-hmm. Instead, we have been given what I would call the things that God really wants us to focus on. And we have that through faith in Christ and therefore the giving of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit living in us, we truly have the fruit of the Spirit. And all of you, I'm sure, know the nine fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They should be the things that direct our needs, our beliefs, our goals, our behavior. And it should move us beyond the temporal, beyond the temporary stuff that we're so caught up in, all of us are, to the eternal. Focus on what's really important, which is eternity, including, and I think this is a very important thing that we have such a struggle with in our world today, is delayed satisfaction. I think so much of our world is caught up in an immediate or instantaneous satisfaction. We want it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to delay. And I believe a lot of what God teaches us and the fruit of the Spirit, patience, remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, that delayed satisfaction is often, but that's not part of our normal human makeup. We have to seek God and seek His help and the Holy Spirit. So, without God, life is meaningless because we keep trying to fill the hole in our soul with all kinds of stuff. And we talked about the five things of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Mm-hmm. And we can just look around at our world today. We can look at addiction, immorality, greed and corruption, cheating, pleasure, abuse, even leading to suicide when people become hopeless, without purpose, and they see the only answer is to take their life, or to end up like the shooter down in Santa Fe, Texas this week, another shooter in the schools. Mm-hmm. You know, why do we think this happened? I mean, they can talk about all this stuff, gun control, they can talk about everything, but it's a hard man. It's really, and there's writings out there on the internet, I don't know, I didn't follow up, they're not talking about it in the news, but they believe he was into Satanism. You know, he had pentagrams and so forth on his Facebook site, different things. So how heavy was that on him? But we know to commit that kind of action, there's a force behind you. Now, you may think you were bullied. You may think that, you know, others were dissing you, whatever the reason is. And so he purposely sought out those he wanted to kill and spared those that he thought would pass on his message. So we see it too quick, too often. And we can keep talking about these things, and we can keep having, you know, cry out for some legislative solution, but that's not the answer, and we know that. So without God, life is meaningless because we keep trying to fill the hole in our soul with all kinds of stuff. And often that can lead to murder or suicide. His intention was to kill himself after he killed others, but it didn't happen.
Just a side note on that, on a radio station, I believe it was on Friday, we were talking about that school district, and actually they were way back, were one of them to majorly push the leaving, not having the kids, or not having prayer at their graduations and stuff like that. But they were one of the schools that were stuck, you know, major push on
one
that.
One of the schools that leading that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's consequences.
You know,
all these things,
yeah.
You know, if you look deeply into them enough, you'll find the consequences. Because I think what we're seeing, you know, I could be wrong, but as I view so much of what's happening in our society, in America, we've kicked God out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Schools and prayer and even invoking the name of God or witnessing Christ, you know, and so God... I think Billy Graham was the always the one, or Andy Graham Watts was the one that said, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself into where he's not appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happening in America. We have kicked God out of everything, and we're reaping the fruit.
Reaping what we sow.
I'm surprised that I went to Britain. Didn't live too far from that school, and I asked him if his exactly his daughter from his wife had is in high school. If she was in that school, I guess she was in a different school.
Mm-hmm.
He said he didn't live too far from there.
Yeah.
I had something on Facebook, and he had come with that daughter, and he didn't live too far from there.
Well, the thing is, and what they're talking about now, how do we protect our schools like we do airports or whatever. I mean, we've gone to extreme measures to try to prevent anybody from coming in. You know, you can build walls around them, you can arm them with guards. All those things maybe could prove a difference. I think they do that in Israel. So there's some things that physically can probably be done to prevent it. But you can't change the heart.
We got to take out what's in there, rejection of God, the Creator.
But how do you do that, Bob, in this society? Because of what path is our nation following?
The only thing we can do is trust God and be a witness for Him.
Yeah, we can only do one, toss one starfish at a time back into the ocean. You know, it's every opportunity we have, take the opportunity to do it. So, but when you try to look at the big picture of this, it almost looks impossible. You know, we would say it's impossible.
But, without God.
Yeah. Yeah. Without God, that's right. And so that's what I want to leave with you with lesson number one, and why the title of our whole study is Life Without God is Meaningless. So, okay, so that brings us to lesson two, which hopefully all of you have a copy of the handout, both the outline, which is just one page, and then the question and answer sheet, which is seven questions. On the outline, just briefly, as I usually do, kind of overview the outline so that we know where we're going. I've broken it into three, I would call it simple themes out of chapter 3. The first one is the most notable, which is the first 8 verses. And I just call it, as it starts, a time for everything. And so we're going to talk this morning, probably in the remaining time we have this morning, about the issue of time. Why did God create time? What is time? And what's the purpose of time? So my first question on the question sheet is what is the purpose of time? And I'm going to spend quite a bit on that. I've got some things written on a poster sheet. I'll bring that up in a little bit. But before I do that, I want to once again go back to what I have been using and probably will continue to use through the book of Ecclesiastes. All the lessons and teachings in Ecclesiastes often remind me of Psalms. And, you know, in the first lesson, I'm keeping track of the songs I shared with you just so I can remind you. We had three songs from lesson one. And one of my topics was, what is it all about? And so that reminded me of the song, What Is It All About, Elfie, back in the 60s. And then there was a sense of not being able to get any satisfaction out of what the writer was doing. And so that reminded me of the Rolling Stones songs, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And then I read to you the words from the song Catch the Wind, because chapter 1 is a lot about, in a sense, it's like chasing the wind, and trying to catch the wind. And that was Donovan's song from 65. Now, this morning my title for lesson 2 is simply Time, Time, Time. And I initially couldn't remember where that phrase came from. So I want to share it with you. I think you may have told you, but hopefully you guys, you're all age. you probably remember Simon Garfunkel, obviously. It's Simon Garfunkel's song. It's called A Hazy Shade of Winter. And I just remind you, when we started this study, the 1st of April, we kind of remember what was happening in April, right? In fact, we canceled church on the 15th of April. The second week would have been our second lesson. And so this song, which is called A Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel, kind of speaks to not only the issue of time, but the seasons. So as we move into chapter 3, lesson 2, I want to kind of share these words with you from the song A Hazy Shade of Winter. Now, it's pretty much totally secular, but we can still pull out meanings out of secular songs. So he begins, time, 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 see what's become of me. While I look around at all my possibilities, I was so hard to please. And isn't that the case for a lot of things? But look around. The leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hear the Salvation Army band down by the river's side. There's bound to be a better ride than what you've got planned. Carry your cup in your hand. look around. Leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. And it's interesting, the third verse kind of moves along, which is kind of fitting to the seasons. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, Simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around. The grass is high. Boy, do I know that. I've been mowing this lawn. The fields are ripe. It's the springtime of my life. And then the last main verse, seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me at any convenient time? Funny how my memory skips while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme, drinking my vodka and lime. I look around, leaves are brown. Now in the sky is a hazy shade of winter. And then there's a chorus at the end that look around, leaves are brown. There's a patch of snow on the ground. And of course, when we started this, we had one. So anyway, that's kind of one song that I wanted to share with you. And then, of course, there'll be another song that really fits with the time thing.
Which is something missing.
What's that?
The melody.
Well, you need to be playing.
But you didn't sing it.
You don't want to hear me sing.
You spared us.
I spared you. Exactly. Okay. So let's... I did kind of do a little bit of study looking into the whole issue of time. We're going to talk about the purpose of time here in a little bit, but I wanted to keep on the song theme. You couldn't believe how many songs have time in the title. I mean, I looked up on one website, and there was a minimum of 125, and there were probably more, and they were looking for people to add to it. But I just wrote down a few of them, like ten different ones, just to kind of remind you. Now, it's interesting that one particular artist, which we've already talked about, artist, the Rolling Stones, had four songs that had time in the title. See if you remember any of these particular songs. Time is on my side. Time waits for no one. Let's see. The Last Time, and then Out of Time. So all four of those by Rolling Stones. Then hopefully, see how many of these other songs you remember. Chicago, anybody remember the group Chicago? Does anybody really know what time it is? I always like that. And then we have a more recent song, which was Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time. You may have remembered that one. Glenn Campbell's By the Time I Get to Phoenix, one of my favorites. Cher saying, If I Could Turn Back Time. Eagles, Wasted Time. Clint Black for the country music fans, Killing Time. And then the golden oldie, a real golden oldie, which is from the 30s originally. It was written in the 30s, but popularized by Frank Sinatra, Barbra Streisand, As Time Goes By. And so, and then one that was also kind of haunting, because he died young too, Jim Croce. And he had a song, Time in a Bottle. Can you capture time? Can you put time in a bottle so you can capture it? We know we can. And then there was one by the Chambers Brothers in 67 called Time Has Come Today. So that's what we're going to be dealing with. So anyway, that's just a little side note.
How about In His Time? In His Time.
There's Christian songs then too, or gospel songs even. But I was looking at the secular songs. Okay, so let's... I did put a couple words out of this chapter 3 on the board, just so you're familiar with the words that are used. This one's not used very often in the Old Testament, but Zamar is a word in Hebrew for season, and particularly as it relates to an appointed occasion. So when the word season is used here, in the first verse of Ecclesiastes 3, you'll see that, you know, this word really means, and I believe it's God's appointed time. I don't know how many of you use this phrase and really reflect upon it, but if you go through life realizing that God is constantly, particularly if you desire it, constantly setting you up with the divine appointments or appointed times. And so many of them we probably miss because we're busy with everything else and don't realize God has put in our path a divine appointment. So it's an appointed occasion. And then the primary word here for time is eth. And it's really two Hebrew characters, which is the ayin, which is to see, or the eye, and the tav, which is the mark. So when you talk about time, you could say to see the mark. It sets a mark. And so when we talk about the purpose of time, we'll keep that in mind. So even the word in Hebrew, eth, means to see the mark or to set the mark. All right, let's go to the main part of my study this morning, which I want to, I'm going to tear off this sheet from lesson one, and we'll go to see this, I'll track. You can, I'll leave this up. I mean, even after Sunday school through the fellowship hour, if you want to copy more. I could probably type it up and give it to you as a handout, but I'd rather sometimes have you reflect upon, you know, what it is that I'm trying to define. I worked a long time on this over the last couple days. How would I define? Because it's the first question. I wrote the question before I even knew the answer. I mean, could even contemplate the answer. And so, you know me, I like to kind of bullet point things. And so, I did the best I could to try to define the different aspects of the purpose of time. So let's go through this. I used some quotes from some internet sites to kind of give a concept to it. But I put five purposes of time. And the one, which I think we perhaps most relate to, time allows us to create order to things. And one of the definitions of time out there on the internet, and for some reason Einstein is given credit for this, but I'm not sure why. I couldn't find it as a quote from him. But this phrase, to prevent everything from happening at once. Think about that. If there was not time, boom! Like God spoke and everything came into existence. You know, the Big Bang, you might want to say, continues over and over again. But you know, I think that's meaningful, to prevent everything from happening at once. We couldn't possibly deal with everything if it was thrust on us all at one time.
Sometimes I think it does.
Well, and it can. Certain things pile up on you. And then I added, well, my way of describing that, because when I teach Genesis, what did God create in the beginning? In the beginning of what? Because we know one thing by Scripture, God is infinite. He's always existed. There's never been a time without God. That's hard to contemplate. Whereas everything we relate to is finite. We have a beginning, we have an end to things. And we'll talk about that with the different aspects here. But I believe God's plan in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, when he created the heavens and the earth, was to create the physical realm. My personal opinion is, you can debate it, is before the physical realm was created by God in the beginning, there was a spiritual realm in which he existed. It was strictly spiritual. And I believe that's the realm in which he created the angels, including Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And so it was all spiritual before he set himself into time, established time, and created the 6 days of creation and everything we've experienced since then, including the fall. So, time allows us to have order to things. It allows us to have measurement. We can measure time. You know, we can look at the clock. We can see the clock tick, seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. And so then we've created, over time, we've created instruments for measuring time.
Could time exist without motion?
Well, that's an argument. That's Einstein's theory and so forth. Probably not. I mean, the scientists would say no. So it's all, you know, energy and motion and time. It's all interconnected. But that's too deep for me. I mean, I really wrestle with how do you separate all that? But all we know is we do have time, and there is a measurement for it, and we have instruments to measure it. Mm-hmm. Originally, I think the first instrument to measure some form of time was the sundial. I'm not sure. There may have been even older versions of it. But it's all based on the relationship of the Earth to the sun. You know, the cycle of the Earth rotating on its axis with the sun. And so you create the... And so then it had to be measured, and that's where we have the units of measurement and the duration. But the devices, and we've become much more technical now. We have atomic time. I mean, it's so finite that we can measure it in small amounts. And so it's become more and more precise. But the devices are part of what allows us to measure. This one I like. This is another quote I found out there. But time provides connection. Think about this. We, with the way God created us, with our human minds, we can, at the same time, we can contemplate the past, the present, and the future. So the way it's stated here, the mind simultaneously. Can an animal do that? I don't believe so. I don't believe an animal can simultaneously reason or reflect upon the past. So the mind can simultaneously grasp the past in memory. We have memory. We can recall memory. The present by attention. And that's interesting. When's the present? Now. You know, it keeps changing, doesn't it? Because it soon becomes the past. As soon as it's moved past the present. But we can still focus on the present, what we're doing right now. And the future with expectation. We can still contemplate at the same time what the future may hold. We can't know everything definitively, but God has given us His Word, His prophetic Word, and when we trust it, we know there's great things to come. I also, these last two concepts, because time gives us dimension, gives us fullness. Events, things occur in sequence. And therefore, we can recall or we can put things in order, and time allows us a comparative review. You know, how much of the stuff, I know all the things that Bob recalls for us with his railroad and his ministry, and his experience in Michigan or Canada or wherever it is, you know,
before you
and all the stories, you know, it allows you to put things in perspective. You even remember what World Series was it that you beat?
Chicago Cubs by the Detroit Tigers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we had that discussion. Bob proved to be right. I was arguing with him. So allows a comparative review. Now, mm-hmm. is all that meaningful? Well, it kind of was for us, just for fun, but not necessarily for the greater purpose. Okay. Then the fifth one, it offers us a way to reflect. And it can help us because there is time. We can use time to manage our lives. The organization of tasks or events that we can establish with timetables. I mean, oftentimes we put timetables together on VBS or whatever it is that we need to look forward to or look back upon. Timetables and stories. That's the other thing. Stories to help us relate.
No, look at me now.
Well, Bob, you're so good at it. You know, there's so many of your stories, and then your jokes that tend into it. And stories to evaluate using time management. So this is my little way of saying, okay, that's the answer to the first question, but the purpose of time. And there may be others I've overlooked a little bit, but you can kind of reflect upon them. But I think it is something to contemplate. Why are things the way they are? Why did God do things the way he did? Why do we need time? Now, we can look forward to eternity, but I would challenge you on this. We think that eternity is without time because it's eternal. It will never end. And that's, again, a concept that we have trouble wrestling with. But there are things in Scripture that says there will still be a reference to a time frame in eternity. How, you know, because, you know, we're not just going to, it's not going to be like everything happening at once in eternity. It'll unfold. Everything God unfolds. And I believe that's the same way with eternity. One of the examples is in Revelation, where God talks about the fruit of the month off the tree of life. Why do you need to have a month? What constitutes a month in eternity? Is it 30 days as God originally established it? Most likely. Is it going to be 24-hour days because there's not going to be any sun or moon or stars? So what's going to dictate the time frame? God's time. We're going to be on God's time. That's the whole thing. And we can look forward to that. So anyway, let me just finish up here by talking about some of the sayings about time. You've probably heard most of these too. Sometimes we're referred to as creatures of time. All of us are captives to time. How much time, and we're looking at the clock now, I'm looking at the clock. We're always looking at the clock because we want to stay on schedule. We want to keep things orderly. So we become creatures of time. We also have the saying that time flies when you're having fun. What it says, hopefully. Time flies. Time heals all wounds. Does it? You know? Somewhat. Time does. We have the reference to Father Time. We have the song that we talked about as time goes by. We have in the financial world, time is money. We also have the phrase slave. We're slaves to time. It's similar to creatures of time, but slaves to time. And then these are a couple, I thought, good ones. Time is the most valuable thing a man or woman can spend. How you spend your time is the most valuable thing that we may have. Because we're all given a limited amount of time. We don't know how precious that is. The key is not spending time, but investing it. Don't just, you know, with futility spend your time, waste your time, if you will. Time waits for no one. And then the last one is time is precious. And I think those are things that we can keep in mind. So we will get into the actual reading of the first eight verses of Ecclesiastes next week. I encourage you maybe to look ahead and at least contemplate questions 2 and 3, because I struggled with this myself, because this is personal reflection. There are 28 different times mentioned here, and that's an interesting concept, because there are 7 verses of 4 times mentioned in each of those 7 verses. 7 times 4 is 28. That's kind of a godly number if you think about it. 4, as we're talking about the seasons, everything in its own season. There are 4 seasons. 4 is the number of the earth, the 4 winds, the 4 directions, the 4 seasons. And then the number 7 we know is God's number. So God orders, orchestrates. So I don't think it's by chance that there are 7 times 4 times mentioned. So I encourage you to look at those 28 different times of life and reflect for yourself which one or ones you think about the most and why. And then question 3 kind of challenges this. Which ones do you desire or would like to think of yourself thinking of more? Which ones would be advantageous to think of more? So, all right, we'll stop there. We'll pick it up with the actual reading and study next week. So, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the time you give us. I didn't even know I was saying time there, Lord. But we thank you for this time and all this time that you give us, not knowing how much each of us have. And so help us to use it wisely, the time you've given us. Help us to use it in a way that you're orchestrating and you're encouraging us to do. So we thank you for time. We thank you for opportunity. We just ask you, Lord, that this time that you now give us to go into worship, that it will be a time in which we can truly direct our worship to you, because you are worthy. And that our prayers, our praises, the music that's sung, the prayers that are offered up, the word that's shared, the message that's given, the fellowship that we share with one another, the love for each other, that all these things are part of our worship. So we thank you, Lord, for our time of worship ahead of time. We ask your blessing upon it, that your Holy Spirit is in this place, will fill us individually and fill this place, that we will sense your presence in this place. And we will see your hand move in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, ahead of time for our time of worship, and grant us a day that we can celebrate, a day that we can rest, a day that we can remember all that you have provided for us. And we can look forward with great expectation on what the future holds. Thank you, Lord, for this time and the people gathered here. I pray in Jesus' name.